The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It is so great to be hanging out with you again, everybody. Hello, this is Todd Starnes, and this is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Grace, maybe we should change it to something. I don't know. That's just... You know, I mean, everybody has their own show, but, you know, what Glenn Beck's got the program, the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, maybe so you want to change it from show? Yeah,
the Todd Starnes, you know, Rogan's.
I was going to say, Rogan's got experience.
Yeah. Well, I've got experience. Are you saying I don't have experience?
That's not what I'm saying. How about the Todd Starnes roller coaster?
I don't know.
Twist a whirl.
You could throw up. I don't know. I'm not a big roller coaster guy.
A lot of screaming, hollering.
Oh, that's true.
Thrills.
Carrying on. Shenanigans. Well, all right,
hopefully
we got to
no
think
breaking
about
down.
It. All right. Well, we're already off the rails, and we've only been we haven't even been on the air 30 seconds
rails.
Yet. Oh, I see what you did there. All right. Hey, look, it is so good to be with you today, and we've got a lot going on, and we're going to start the program north of the border. I am telling you, something is happening around the world. People have seen the United States of America. They have seen that we are a free people. And I think over the generations, people have come to respect that. Many people have come to envy that. I mean, when you look at what's happening in Australia, for example, where they fought for their freedom, and yet they are now an imprisoned people. For better or for worse, the Australian people are prisoners of the China virus. And the same thing is happening all over the world, where you have not just a few thousand people, you have hundreds of thousands of people that are marching in the streets, demanding their freedom, demanding their rights. And I would not be surprised if we see civil war break out in Australia. It is that tenuous of a situation. And then in Canada, you've got something else going on where you have hundreds of thousands of Canadians that are starting to stand up and fight for their freedom. And it is bad across our northern border, folks. I mean bad. We've been bringing you the stories as best we can. The preachers that have been thrown in jail for violating the China virus rules and regulations. There are people that the schools have been shut down. Businesses have been shut down and they're playing hardball. And it beyond that, for years now, the Canadians have been trying to silence dissenting viewpoints. There are a lot of radio programs that broadcast in Canada, and I'm speaking specifically of religious programs. And many of the churches here in the United States have to edit out portions of the sermon and have to edit out Bible verses, or else they would be found guilty of violating hate speech rules and regulations in Canada. I mean, that's how crazy it is. A lot of people don't like to talk about that. But I was, as a matter of fact, the preacher who told me this said, you can't share my name. I don't want you to, you know, blab about who I am. But you can tell people this is what's going on. It's really bad. So when word came out that the Canadians were going to crack down on truckers, and here's the deal. This is why this is such a big deal, this freedom convoy that's happening in Canada right now. There you go. Honk that horn. It's good stuff. I guess we're not on the interstate, but I guess maybe a big 18-wheeler's driving by. Who knows? The reason why this is a big deal is a Canadian said, hey, look, if you're a trucker, you are going to have to be vaccinated. And if you are not vaccinated, you will not be able to have a job. So over the weekend, we're talking, they're saying a few, if you listen to the media up there, it's a few hundred truckers. No, no, they count truckers like CNN counts people attending a Trump rally. So they're not very good at it. And there are some estimates of over 100,000 trucks en route to Ottawa, the capital city. A lot of trucks. Maybe there's some from Memphis coming by. I don't know. So anyway, they have now descended upon the city, and here's how crazy it is. You've got Trudeau, who is the leader of Canada. He is also a practicing thespian, but we don't judge you on this program. He and his family fled the city. They're treating Ottawa as if it's a city that's been laid siege. And the media here on this side of the border is doing their part. This is the headline from the Washington Post. Canada must confront the toxic freedom convoy head on. So I have a question for you. What exactly is toxic about the word freedom convoy? Which part of that is considered toxic by the Washington Post? David Moskrop is the writer of this opinion piece. Long lines of truckers calling themselves the Freedom Convoy are headed across Canada to Ottawa from the west and from the east. Estimates of the size of the convoy vary. I won't estimate. And the reason why is because he's a coward, because he knows. Bigger than a breadbasket, smaller than Hadrian's Wall. Hundreds of trucks and personal vehicles by some estimates. Did you see what hundreds? That's what hundreds. Those taking part are on their way ostensibly to protest pandemic measures, including vaccine mandates for truckers, but that's just the tip of the spear. The leadership of the group is promising to remain peaceful, but the convoy is made up of as many individuals and far-right groups that have embraced the convoy as a Canadian version. Here it comes, folks, a Canadian version of the January 6th rioting in the United States. Now, I want to stop here for a moment. Yesterday, yours truly predicted, yesterday on Twitter, predicted that the mainstream media would try and tie the Freedom Convoy into what was happening at the U.S. Capitol back on January the 6th. That's where all of this is going. They will basically be trying to convince you, the good patriots of America, that the truck drivers that are currently circling Ottawa are domestic terrorists on 18 wheels. That is what they're going to try and commit. That will be the narrative. And here we have, one day later, the Washington Post making that exact argument. The movement shares an affinity with Trumpist, toxic, authoritarianist politics. Indeed, the convoy has received attention from Donald Trump Jr. Police and security services are preparing for the worst. What is the worst? What, you're going to have a backup at the filling stations? You won't be able to go in and use the bathroom? Is that what they're talking about? No, of course not. They want you to believe that these truckers are what, going to drive their big rigs into the Capitol building? Time and time again, we learn the lesson, or at least come across it, that teaches us that rage-soaked anti-government types can't be reasoned with. This time around, the convoy has produced an incoherent memorandum of understanding premised upon a misunderstanding of government and absurd demands. Of course, the memo should be ignored. It's the product of a temper tantrum. The convoy is, by and large, a fringe group, an unfortunate minority in which a further minority of insidious extremists lurk. They are bolstered by support from conservative politicians and certain blustery media voices. So this is how it's going down, and it is not going to be a pretty picture. But the fact of the matter is that what we need to be doing in this country is standing in solidarity with the Canadian truckers. Now, you want to talk about supply chain shortages and supply chain issues. There you have it. Folks, without truckers, we will go hungry. Without truckers, you will not have the building supplies you need to build your homes. Without truckers, you will not have the medical supplies you need. It's that simple. Grocery stores will remain empty so long as the truckers are out on strike. And maybe that is what needs to happen. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to teach the government a lesson. It may impact all of us, but maybe we all have to suffer for just a little while to make the point that we cannot force these truck drivers to have these mandatory vaccine policies. I mean, this is just nuts. So here's what I think needs to happen, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about the truck situation, the Freedom Convoy. I think we need a convoy of our own right here in the United States of America. And I think it needs to start in Los Angeles, California. Can you imagine getting all the big rigs together, those big, big 18-wheelers, and driving border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain? That's what we need to do, America. Somebody honk your horn in affirmation of that. Folks, I can see it now. All over Atlanta, Georgia, people are honking their horns in solidarity. And that's what we need to do. And we need to converge on Washington, D.C. But Todd, they're going to call us extremists. And I don't want to be an extremist. I don't want to be an extremist. Yes, they're going to call you an extremist. They're going to call you all sorts of names. Can I just share something with you? They've called me every name in the book. And guess what happened? Our audience got larger. Our platform got bigger because people know the truth. The truth will set you free. And the truth is, we've got to start standing up to these thugs up on Capitol Hill. We've got to start standing up. You don't have to burn anything down. Those truckers aren't burning anything down. They're not beating people up in the streets with the baseball bats. That's what the Democrats do. That's what Black Lives Matter does. That's what Antifa does, but not us. We wave Old Glory. And we declare that we are still one nation under God. That's who we are. So, look, we're going to open up the phone lines this hour. We've got Senator Marsha Blackburn here. Congressman David Kustoff is going to drop by. But we want to salute all of those truck drivers that are out there today, that are flying Old Glory, that are flying the Canadian flag, that are circling Ottawa right now. This little song goes out to all of you folks. We're going old school, Grace Baker.
It's clean, clear to Taco Town. Yeah, we definitely got us the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Woo! We got a convoy, America!
Arizona, noon on the 7th of June, when they highballed over the pass. Bulldog Mac with a can on back and a Jaguar hauling ass. On the floor, stroking bores, seat cover starting to gain. Now, Beaver, you were trucking with a rubber duck, and I'm about to pull a plug on your drain.
Rocking on through the night. All right, folks, here's our number, 844-747-8868. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hop on board a Freedom Convoy. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Hi friends, Todd Starnes here, officially inviting you to join me and over 2 million other active AMAC members nationwide. We've made AMAC America's largest organization for conservative seniors. We really dodged a bullet in January, scoring victories that stopped the big spending Build Back Better scheme, and we saved the filibuster from liberal mischief that would have hurt our seniors. But many battles lie ahead. And it's more important than ever that you add your name to AMAC's membership roster. So I'm personally urging you to choose AMAC now. You not only get great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, but at the same time, your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/starns today to start your discounts. That's amac.us/starns to become an AMAC member like me. They need you, and America needs AMAC. Go to amac.us/starns today to start your discounts.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hey, by the way, ToddStearns.com is our website. We have great, great stories, great videos, all sorts of fun stuff for you to check out there. And our team updates it every single day, every hour. So be sure to check that out. Bookmark that website. Hey, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Charles in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Hey, Todd, I'm really glad you're bringing this up about the truckers in Canada and connecting that with the mask mandates and vaccine mandates, because this is something that I've been thinking about for well over a year and have been trying to promote. I think the fastest way to get us out of this quagmire that we're in with China virus and the mandates and everything is for the truckers in this country to go on a nationwide truck strike. And that strike needs to not only be just truckers, but I think it needs to extend to pilots and also railway workers. We've got to shut down these big cities. I think you need to selectively target it. I think it needs to start with Washington, D.C., New York, Atlanta, San Francisco, Los Angeles. You go to all of these major cities and just imagine what would happen if these truckers and trains quit delivering food and supplies. It would take less than 30 days for this madness to end. And I realize that could impact me, but I'm willing to do it. But the only way we're going to get out of this, I think, fast, is to put these people that have thrust this upon us. You got to put them in some type of economic pain. And the best way to do that is to make them hungry and make them very uncomfortable and make them poor.
Charles, no, look, you're absolutely right here. And I'm with you. And I think that that is the best way to put a stop to all of this nonsense. It's all political, Charles. This has nothing to do with health and safety anymore. It's all political. And we know that because yesterday, Gavin Newsom and London Breed, she's the mayor of San Francisco, they were spotted at the big football game last night. They were partying down. Nobody was wearing a mask. Everybody was having a great old time. Nobody was socially distancing. And yet they turn around and they force all of us to obey these rules and regulations. So, Charles, if the virus was really as dangerous and as contagious as they're telling us it is, don't you think that Gavin Newsom and London Breed would have masked up and would have been isolated at that football game?
Oh, absolutely. I saw the whole thing. It's all these liberal politicians, and just the hypocrisy. I mean, you look at AOC down in Florida, but that's what it's going to take. I mean, what they've done is just unconscionable. And like I said, Todd, I just think we're going to have to put them in a lot of pain. And once they get in pain, they'll feel the political pressure and economic pressure to drop all these mandates, to drop all the mask requirements. And Todd, I think we also need to hold out long enough to get them to quit teaching our kids all this CRT crap.
Well, I mean, Charles, one thing at a time here, Charles. I like this idea. We have to inflict pain, and that is the way to do it. And the Democrats are genius at this. They're trying to get Americans to stop driving as much for AOC's Green New Deal. So what do? They jack up the price of gasoline. Charles, we got to run for a break here. I like this idea. Folks, Charles says that American truck drivers need to go on strike, and they need to stay on strike until the government opens up and revokes all of these mandatory mask and vaccine requirements. What say you? 844-747-8868. We have Darren in Maine, Mike in Tennessee coming up. Hang tight. We're going to go right to your calls. By the way, our good friend Matt Schlapp from CPAC, American Conservative Union, is going to drop by. Also, Senator Marsha Blackburn and Congressman David Kustoff. So a lot of great guests, a lot of great calls, a lot of crazy stories coming your way. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Oh, wow. The White House, there's a huge kerfuffle going on with the press. And we're going to play some audio. Hang tight, Darren and Ron. We've got them on the listener line. I want to play some audio for you. This just happened at the White House, where the president was inviting the reporters to ask questions, and then all you know what broke loose.
If I may. But having said that, why don't I stop and take any questions you all may have? And they tell me I'm supposed to call on Governor Cox first.
Great. I think we'll have
Supreme Court candidates.
Thank you, guys.
And how long is your
shortlist? Thank you, guys. Let's go. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Come on.
Now wait for it.
All right, we're listening in to President Biden speaking with a group of the nation's governors at the White House, touting and promoting the efforts by the Congress and his administration in trying to help states through the pandemic to this point. We're going to continue to listen in. What happens there? You could see lots of reporters trying to ask questions, not happening today.
Thank you, guys. Move along. Thank you, guys. Move along.
Not today.
Jeez, Alou. All right, there you go. By the way, who's telling Biden what he can and can't do? I mean, the guy said he clearly was going to take questions. And, yeah, the White House not having it today. You know, he doesn't sound very well. You know, he said the voice is slurred. So clearly, whatever they were sticking in the porridge did not take this morning. So might have to up that dosage. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. The Prime Minister of Canada has now weighed in. You know, he fled the city once the truckers arrived. The peaceful protesters, by the way, he fled the city. And here's what the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, had to say.
I have attended protests and rallies in the past when I agreed with the goals, when I supported the people expressing their concerns and their issues. Black Lives Matter is an excellent example of that. But I have also chosen to not go anywhere near protests that have expressed hateful rhetoric, violence towards fellow citizens, and a disrespect, not just of science, but of the frontline health workers and, quite frankly, the 90% of truckers who have been doing the right thing to keep Canadians safe, to put food on our tables. Canadians know where I stand. This is a moment for responsible leaders to think carefully about where they stand.
All right. That's Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, a former acting thespian. I don't know. He may still be is he still a practicing thespian, Grace? I mean, once you're a thespian, you're always, I mean, you're born that way, right?
Beats me.
Yeah, you are. I mean, it's theater. I love theater. He was a drama teacher before he got elected. I think that was his day job. Anyway, Justin Trudeau says that he would rather hang out with a Black Lives Matter protest than peaceful truckers. So BLM running around, beating people up with baseball bats. Grace, what are you laughing at? You're distracting me.
I'm sorry. I was double checking what a thespian was.
I told you.
It's a few different things come to mind.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, he's been very upfront about that.
This is true.
He has been very proud of the fact that he's a thespian.
Good for him.
Absolutely. We don't judge on this program. I did notice that he kind of has a little lisp. Did you pick up
just
on that?
Just a little bit of a lisp.
Protests. We don't judge. We just make observations.
Just an observation.
We're just
it's
making
a fact.
Observations.
I have a southern accent. A he has a lisp.
That's right. And look, we have thespians down south, so we don't judge. You know, it's can't we all just get along? All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Ron in Salem, Oregon. KYKN. Ron, rescue us.
Oh, I'm trying, man, because, you know, when you got Bikini Boy up there that's appeasing China 24-7 for the pipeline going to Vancouver, B.C., you know, it's just funny as heck. But get back to the point. I think it's time for us to have a little shutdown. We can put them right there on the grapevine on I-5, put them out there in the state line in Oregon, put one right across the interstate bridge of about 1,000 trucks each way, have them jackknife along the divider. I think it'd be perfect. Because you know what needs to happen in these liberal states where I'm at? I'm under siege with the Marxist left. Because when you leave to go southern Oregon or east of the Cascades, you feel like you left plantation out here. And it's sad. Would they want to? Now you got the Oregon Health Authority, a bunch of bureaucrats. I didn't elect these guys. Going to tell our kids got to wear a mask 20 the whole time in school. They don't look at the science. The science says it's affecting our kids mentally, socially. There was a kid overdosed in Southern Oregon a couple of days ago. The depression. And they don't want to address that issue, man. They want to kick the can down the road. Well, go ahead and make everybody else become the patsy, but you're not going to let the wide open 3 million people that came across the border this past year? That is basically Bernie Sanders. That's straight out Bernie Sanders. And the thing is, we people, we are their bosses. They're supposed to serve us, not dictate us like we're kings, queens, lords, or knights. They're supposed to be serving the people.
Ron, I mean, you're preaching here, brother. You're absolutely right. And I'm with you. I like this idea of a trucker lockdown or a shutdown. Just block the roads, pull off, you can just go on strike and let the people see how this really will play out. I mean, they're playing politics. I mean, we know that, Ron. This is all about politics. So let's just go ahead and take it a step further and say, okay, you want to play politics? Here's what it looks like when you really do shut down the country. Folks, I'm telling you, people will change their opinion lickety-split, Ron. I have no doubt about it. Gotta run. God bless you, Ron. Thanks for all of our great listeners in Occupied Oregon. It's nice to know the conservative blowtorch can actually reach and permeate the border lockdowns over there. Hey, let's go to the great state of Maine. Darren, WLOB. Darren, what's up?
Good morning to you, Todd.
Good morning.
I got a thought and an opinion. I'm not so sure that I'm on board with the truckers locking everything down, and I base that on the thought that the left will always, they make it known that they love tragedies. They love all kinds of pandemonium and everything. I would more err to the side of just looking at the most basic common sense approach to this whole thing with the truckers. They're in a truck all day, sometimes all night, and all by themselves. Why do they need a mandated, why do they have to have a mask? Even when they're at a truck stop, they're, you know, if there's a mask mandate there or whatever, it's just ridiculous to the thought that that is going to accomplish, or that there's some great spreader of anything. They're in a truck all day, all night sometimes. They don't stop for gas. They can hold hundreds of gallons of gas and drive for 10, 12 hours at a time.
Darren, it's look, these are all fair questions, and the only way they're going to get answered is if the truckers do something that dramatic. I mean, everything else they've tried
isn't working. Right, but they've got the media on their side. So when
well, I don't think so. No, sir. No, Darren, I don't know. If you look at the media coverage, there's hardly any here on this side of the border, and the coverage that is out there is anti-trucker. So it's this is a difficult situation the truckers are in. And as the prime minister said, he said 90% of truckers are actually complying. I don't know. I've read those reports. I don't know how accurate that information is. But I can tell you right now, they're scared to death up in Canada because they know they can't control those truckers.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing from one perspective. I think of the, like the one caller said, I know this may affect me. The sad part of it is it's going to affect probably everybody. And that's not always the best approach when there's so much common sense stuff that just doesn't, that needs to get more airtime than harsh things happening.
Darren, look, I understand, and I suspect there are others that feel like you do, but the reality of this, something dramatic is going to have to happen, and maybe, just maybe, it would be great to see an American convoy starting in Los Angeles, heading all the way across the country, and then you've got tens of thousands of truckers surrounding Washington, D.C. But again, folks, if that happens, they'll call it an insurrection, but they call everything an insurrection these days. Darren, gotta run. God bless you, and thank you for the call. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
By now, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike Lindell is just a great American patriot, and he is, and he has done it again with his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers designed to wear indoors or outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and they're also made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. So comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and click on the radio listener square. Use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstocked items such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and so much more. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes. You can also call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes.
Good to have you back with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. 116 radio stations proudly carry this program, and we love all you guys out there. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Mike, listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, thank you for talking to me. I'll be right back.
All right.
Oh, sorry. No. I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody else.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So we can hang on for a minute.
I was just pulled up to a coffee stand to get me a coffee.
Well, Mike, I am very honored then, because if that had been me, I would have probably gotten with the coffee. But what's going on, Mike?
Well, I just calling. I've been looking at that trucker thing going on in Canada, and I know they tried it here in Salem a while back. When they had a little bit of a trucker thing come downtown to the Capitol. And, I was just thinking, if everybody that is truly an American and believes in what this country stands for and what we have fought so hard to become, then
because we are the ones, we're the backbone of the world, of the country, and without us, they don't have a job, they don't have a placement, and they don't have an income. So if all the American people would just get together and leave their jobs, stop paying the taxes, go to their capitals, go to Washington and say, look, you're not doing this to us no more. They would have no choice but to change what's happening when millions and millions and millions of people stop paying their salary.
And Mike, I love this idea because it's really a form of tough love for the entire country.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I knew a couple and they had an unruly child. And this child was just, it didn't matter how many times they disciplined the child, the kid just would not behave. So finally they said, okay, fine. If you're going to keep this up, we're going to take away your video games. And they took away the video games. They said, you keep this up, we're going to take away. And they just kept taking stuff away. And finally, the kid, when he had nothing else left, the kid realized, hey, if I keep behaving like this, there's going to be a price to pay. And I think that maybe, just maybe, this is what the left needs to understand.
Yes, that's the problem, is that they think that they have so much power that they can now turn it around and turn us into slaves. And we have already been turned into what I have called enslavement. It's not slavery anymore. We have now been enslaved by the government, because if we don't work, we can't survive. We can't pay bills. We can't buy groceries. We can't enjoy life. And then they just keep taking more and more and more. And it's time for the people to say, that's enough.
Mike, I couldn't have said it better, and let's see what happens here. There are a lot of truckers around this country that are just fed up, and maybe, just maybe, this is the opportunity to send a message to Washington, D.C. and the Biden administration. Mike, God bless you, and thanks to a lot of people listening to us in Oregon today, and we love all of those folks, especially those conservatives listening to us behind enemy lines. And to be a conservative in Oregon is a whole lot different than being a conservative in Tennessee. I'll tell you that much. By the way, our good friend Matt Schlapp coming up from American Conservative Union. We look forward to seeing you down at CPAC. Grace, Kyle, and I are all going to be down there. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'll be delivering a speech, and we'll be out on Radio Row, so you'll be able to drop by and say hello if you're down in Orlando for this year's CPAC. We're going to be playing some clips later on in the next hour from lawmakers who are Republican lawmakers who say that Joe Biden deserves to nominate his person, and that person deserves to be on the Supreme Court, no matter who that person is. And we warned you about this last week. And what was, Grace, there was one particular person, I believe, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who we called out on this show, and I said he will be the first. And guess who was the first?
That was the guy you said,
Lindsey Graham. That's it. As a matter of fact, let's play that. Cut number 11, please.
And President Reagan said, running for office, that he wanted to put the first female on the court. Whether you like it or not, Joe Biden said, I'm going to pick an African-American woman to serve on the Supreme Court. I believe there are plenty of qualified African-American women, conservative and liberal, that could go onto the court. So I don't concede that. I don't see Michelle Childs as an act of affirmative action. I do see putting a black woman on the court, making the court more like America. In the history of our country, we've only had five women serve and two African-American men.
All right, we're going to go out to, and we're going to pick this up after the top of the hour, but I want to go back out with a salute to all of our great truckers across America and across the great state of, or the great nation of Canada. And we're going to be taking your calls on Biden's Supreme Court pick, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. God bless the Freedom Convoy. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
We definitely got us the front door.
Seventh of June, when they highballed over the pass. Bulldog Mac with a can on back and a Jaguar hauling ass. He's 10 on the floor, stroking bull.
for starting the game. Now, Beaver, you were trucking with a rubber duck, and I'm about to pull a plug on your drink. Mexico on I-40, like a Texas lizard on glass. 1,000...
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you back with us. Hour two underway. And Grace, we got an email just right before the start of the show from Mar-a-Lago.
Ooh, Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, so apparently the president's having he has a good time when he comes on the program.
Well, and it's a fun show.
It is a fun show. And so anyway, he's going to be on the program sometime either this week or next week. And we will let you know when that happens. He enjoys talking to you.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, he asked. Grace, yeah. I mean, you're like on a first name basis now.
No, he didn't.
Sort of. I think.
Okay, well, next time I answer the phone, I'm going to say, hi, Donnie.
No, don't call him Donnie. Good Lord.
I'm kidding.
It's Mr. President. Yeah, I don't want him calling us out like at one of the big rallies. Nobody wants that. Great to have you with us. We've got a lot going on here. Senator Marsha Blackburn on the way. Also, Matt Schlapp from American Conservative Union. I'll be speaking at CPAC, and we look forward to seeing. We'll be doing our show from down there in Orlando, so we look forward to seeing all of you great folks there in Orlando. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have, I think, one of the best congressmen in all of Washington, and he happens to be my congressman, David Kostoff from the great state of Tennessee. Congressman, I hope you're doing well.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me on. And I know that when Grace takes President Trump's call, she's going to be terrific. They're going to have a great conversation, and he's nice to everybody.
You know, no, he really is. And folks, one of the things that, you know, you're not one of the guys out there all the time in front of the cameras. And the reason why is you're like a workhorse. I mean, you're back in the district working around the clock. But the reality is your conservative ratings are like almost 99.9% or something, maybe 101%.
It's very strong. And, you know, I think about Todd. So I was elected when President Trump was elected in 2016. And I look at my record, my voting record with President Trump, and it is 92-95%. And you just think about those years, and you compare where we were then to a year later and how everything has unraveled from politically to the geopolitical circumstances around the world. And I think when you do that, and when we go out 5 years and 10 years from now, history and those who write history are going to be much kinder to to Donald Trump than some of these people who are riding it now, because you've got to measure results. And the fact of the matter is, those 4 years were really incredible years in this American experiment. And I'm glad to work along with President Trump and to support him in the United States House of Representatives.
And one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of you and what you've done for this congressional district is you're back home a lot, and you're talking with your constituents, you're meeting folks. You have a massive district, a lot of ground to cover, a lot of miles to drive. And I'm curious, Congressman, you know, what are you hearing from the folks in the district when it comes to issues like the economy and inflation?
So, Todd, I think right now the four biggest things that I hear from people as I travel across my district are inflation, crime, the border, and education. And you can take any one of those, and on any given day, any one of those four issues is going to be the major focal point for what people are concerned with. You know, with inflation, and I know everybody who is listening feels this. I mean, you know, when you talk about gas prices being almost 50% higher than they were a year ago right now, again, due to the policies that Biden implemented when he came into office, goods, appliances, new cars, used cars, food, it's hitting real people. And I tell you, Friday, when I was traveling my district, I was meeting with the small business person, and she told me, you know, they've had to raise their wages to try to attract the people, and they're primarily, she told me, entry-level jobs, but Todd, they're giving retirement benefits, health insurance, others, and they're still down. They still can't attract enough people, and that's because the government essentially disincentivized people to want to work due to these enhanced unemployment benefits, the child tax credits, et cetera. And it's not going to get any better if Biden and Pelosi and Schumer demand on party lines that we keep spending the way the federal government has been spending the last 12 months.
No, it's just not feasible. And that's why, you know, I appreciate your work as a fiscal conservative to hold people accountable. And that's yet another reason, Congressman, why the midterm elections are so vitally important. We've got to get the conservatives. We got to get Republicans back in control of the Senate and the House.
Yeah, and I feel really good about things. I tell you, in the House of Representatives, Todd, three things that I think help out Republicans, really four things as we approach the November elections. One is we have done a really good job of trying to attract good quality candidates to want to run in primaries across the country. You've got to have good quality people who want to do the job because it's a tough job. Secondly, as we all know, historically in the midterm elections, the party that's not in power usually does better. And in that case, this is Republicans. Three, I think redistricting does help in that a number of these state legislatures across the country are drawing lines that are fair and more representative. And I think that will help Republicans. And remember that there are states like New York and California that have lost population. So they're actually losing congressional representation. The states that people are moving to, like Florida and Texas, they're getting extra representation, and their Republican legislatures are drawing the line. And the fourth thing, Todd, is that the Democrats in Congress, they've just been doing a lot of crazy things. We all know that, whether it's fiscal, whether it's socially related, and that turns people off. You know, the federal government's fiscal year starts October the 1st, and we have not approved appropriations. One reason the Republicans won't support what the Democrats are trying to do, besides the massive amount of monies that they want to spend, for the first time in 45 years, going back to 1976, the Democrats have removed the Hyde Amendment, and we all know that's named after Henry Hyde, that prohibits federal taxpayer dollars to be used to fund abortions. The Democrats have stripped those out of the spending bills, and because of that, there's not one Republican that's going to vote for any appropriations unless the Hyde Amendment is restored.
You know, Congressman, I know this is not in your domain, but the Senate is going to have to confirm a Supreme Court nominee very soon. And there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about the fact that the president says he will select a black American woman, an African-American woman, to be the next Supreme Court justice. Your reaction to that?
You know, that's not where the American people are. And I look at one poll that came out yesterday. It was an ABC News Ipsos poll. Came out yesterday. Americans are overwhelmingly in favor of Biden considering nominees who merit, not simply based on their race. By 76% to 23%, Americans, Republican, Democrat, Independent, want Biden to consider all possible nominees, and he should. He shouldn't limit himself to any particular gender, any particular race. We need to have the most qualified person to be nominated for the Supreme Court, and then let the Senate consider it. So I think Biden's out of step, and when you have those types of numbers, 76% don't want it limited to race or gender, I think that should tell Biden in the White House something.
No, I'm with you, and that polling, I was really surprised by the polling data, but the reality is that when you say something like that, you immediately disqualify maybe the first Asian-American person for the high court. You know, there are lots of other firsts waiting to happen, but again, the issue for us is, are we getting the most qualified individual for the highest court in the land?
There's no doubt about it, and what you could see, and we don't want to see this. I'd like to see the Supreme Court nominees be confirmed by wide margins, just like when Justice Scalia was confirmed, and that was a long time ago. Todd, nobody voted against him, not one Democrat, not one Republican. And over the last 4 to 5 years, primarily during the Trump administration, he nominated three really good men and women, and they all got through basically on party line votes, where you had a few Democrats like Manchin that would cross over and vote for the Trump nominees. Biden ought to consider, if he really wants to do what he talked about in his inaugural address, bring bipartisan and unity to the nation, don't be divisive. Nominate somebody who can get confirmed by a wide margin, and obviously somebody who is capable to do the job, to be on the Supreme Court, because as we all know, that's a lifetime appointment, and you've got one chance to get it right.
Well said, and Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate you always coming on the program, and I love introducing our national audience to the great work you're doing here in Western Tennessee.
Thank you so much, Todd. You do a great job bringing the conservative voice to the American people across all 50 states, and I'm honored that you are broadcasting your world headquarters right here from our congressional district. So thank you very much for what you do.
Absolutely. You know, we trigger Steve Cohen a lot over here, but it is what it is.
All right. We're glad to have you, though.
Thanks, Congressman. Always good to have you on the show. Congressman David Kostoff, ladies and gentlemen, a great American patriot, a great conservative, and a great Republican as well. All right, we've got to take a break here. We will open up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So David Kustoff was talking about that ABC poll, and it's pretty, it's really stunning, and it says a lot about the mood of the country, where most Americans, an overwhelming number of Americans, say, hey, look, we don't want you picking judges based on this, the color of a person's skin.
And we begin with our brand new poll with Ipsos. It shows big challenges for President Biden heading into this year's midterm elections. 3 out of 4 Americans are pessimistic about the state of the economy. Only 29% support deploying troops to counter the Russian threat to Ukraine. And more than 3/4 of all Americans question the president's pledge to consider only black women to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, saying he should consider all possible nominees.
All right. There you have it, folks. In the meantime, you've got a lot of lawmakers lining up, including Republicans, who say, just give it a pass. You don't want to make this a midterm election issue. And the question, and look, a lot of these lawmakers, and some of them are very conservative. Governor Mike Huckabee on Friday's show said, hey, this is not the hill to die on. You're not replacing a conservative with a liberal. This is a liberal being replaced by a liberal. So let it go. And the governor knows what's going to happen. If anyone stands up and opposes this nominee, they will be labeled a racist. That's just how this is all going to play out. There's really no guessing here, folks. That's the reason why Biden wants to pick a black woman, because he knows that if any white lawmaker raises an objection, boom, they're a Klans member. All right, real quick, let's go to the phones here. Patricia's been holding on for a while in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on that big rally. Patricia, that was a huge crowd in Texas over the weekend.
Oh, Todd, it was. It was great. This guy can bring, it's like going to a rock concert. I love this guy. If anybody could generate anybody, Donald Trump is the man. He does, you know, he's not falling asleep in sentences, okay?
Good point. I mean, it's a fair point. poor Joe Biden. I mean, the poor guy looks like he needs some sort of a nursemaid by his side. It's really shocking. But when you compare, I mean, just side-by-side comparison, where are the millions of people who allegedly voted for Joe Biden? Where are those people? They never show up.
81 million people. I mean, 81 million beeps from a car? I don't think so. There might have been three or eight beeps, beep, 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 but not 81 million. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's right. No, Patricia, hold on. I've got to tell people, I would explain what, if you remember back in the campaign, when President Trump was having, I mean, tens of thousands of people coming out, Biden was holding the drive-in rallies, and instead of people applauding, they would stay in their cars and meep, meep, meep. Not many. You didn't hear any truckers blowing their horns. I'll tell you that much.
No, but I'm telling you, when I went down there, and there were people sleeping out. I mean, there had to be. I'm not kidding. There were cars lined up for miles. I mean, this is a man that's not even president.
It's true.
Never seen this, and this is historic. This man could generate. Where I'm originally from, New Jersey. Moved down to North Carolina. I love the people here, but I'm telling you, when I go out on the road, I see trucks with Trump flags and blue line, you know, black, you know, like cop flags. Although, I mean, I live in a place where everything's Trump, 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 Trump. I have not yet seen one Biden sticker.
Sounds like you live in heaven.
I do. I love it. Truckers go by me. We beep horns. I have right in back of my car. I get beeps from state troopers. I'm not kidding. I have state troopers that come up to me. I'm not kidding.
Hey, Patricia, what part of North Carolina do you live in?
I was explaining to Grace, I live in Iredell County, Rowan County, but we're closer to like the border of Virginia. We're like right on the border of where Martinsville. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, it's a beautiful area. I told Grace I jumped over the wall, got a jersey.
Good for you. Patricia, we're going to have to go here. They're going to cut us off for the news, but God bless you, and thank you for calling in. You know, Patricia raises an interesting point. There are people in the conservative media suggesting that Trump, the enthusiasm for Trump is beginning to wane among conservatives. And I just don't see it, folks. Are you seeing something that do you believe that? I just don't see the support beginning to fade away. If anything else, it looks like it's getting stronger. What say you, America? 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Freedom Convoy hanging out with you here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. That was a pretty impressive. Was that like a big rig? 18-wheeler, maybe. Definitely. All right. By the way, the Freedom Convoy is still going on over in Ottawa, and you've got the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, the acting thespian. We don't judge here. He fled the city and is somewhere in hiding, and now apparently he's tested positive for the China virus. So there you go. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Our good friend from CPAC, the American Conservative Union, Matt Schlapp. Matt, good to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be with you again, Todd.
Hey, first of all, very excited. CPAC coming up in Orlando, which is a little different. I mean, you guys, last year you went in Dallas, and now we're going to be in Orlando.
Yeah, you know, what we decided is when they canceled this, basically, Governor Larry Hogan, who's a Republican, and Dr. Fauci said it would be unsafe to have CPAC. You know, this is right after they blamed us for the worldwide pandemic because, you know, they want to make it conservative coronavirus, as you know. And they so then they basically shut down our ability to even have CPAC. We moved to Orlando last year. Then we did Dallas afterwards in the summer. We decided we're going to do that same schedule. We're going to Orlando here in a month. At the end of February, and tickets are still available, and then we'll go back to Dallas in August. So, Todd, you're going to have to go on the road with us.
Hey, I'm there. My bags are packed, Matt, and it's always a fun time, and just a tremendous crowd, and the folks are always so enthusiastic. And I think, especially as we are gearing up for the midterms, Matt, the messages coming out of CPAC are going to be so important to mobilizing the base of the party.
That's exactly right. I mean, we got to keep our eyes on the prize, and we've got two problems. We've got the socialists, which have taken over the Democratic Party and have all this power in Washington. The voters of West Virginia are the only ones that are holding us from the abyss, it seems like. I don't give Joe Manchin credit for that. I give West Virginia credit for that. But then you have this other problem, which is, what will Republicans do if we get power back? Will they actually use that power? Will they be aggressive? Or will they do what they normally like to do, which is just kind of wait to use that power for when they really need it. And if we keep waiting to use our power, we're not going to have the opportunity to use it.
I think that, you know, when you look at what happened in Virginia and the Commonwealth of Virginia, when you see people mobilized around a big issue, and honestly, I think it's the moms and dads fighting against the school boards that propelled the Republicans into power there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's everyday Americans who are really going to save this country. It's cops who won't teach the Black Lives Matter Marxism. It's teachers who say parents deserve to have a role. It's the parents who are standing up and saying, what kind of smut are you teaching in our schools? And what kind of foolishness and cancer are you putting in our kids' brains about how America is a hateful and racist country instead of a good place? And, you know, I think the fact that the president is coming back to CPAC next month just shows that this kind of grassroots revolution that he started with this idea of taking on the swamp, even though there was big consequences for taking it on, and trying to empower everyday Americans, I think this movement's growing.
Well, it is, and it's thanks to you and the incredible work you've done. Matt, I mean, when you go back, and I know you're kind of in the background, you know, at a lot of this stuff, but, I mean, you are the force that's moving the conservative movement and mobilizing the conservative movement, not just here, but really all over the world now. With you've really gone international with this idea of expanding conservatism and what it means to be a conservative.
You know, it's nice of you to say, Todd, and I think that before the virus and we were traveling all over the world, it was really meaningful because the message we got from all these freedom lovers all over the place, including Australia. I mean, can you imagine those poor freedom lovers? Now they're locked in their homes. But people would say to me, we want CPAC in our country because we think this movement connects us to America. And we realize that without America, there's no freedom. And that was stark for me. I didn't realize that that's how the rest of the world, including countries I viewed as pretty free, how they viewed America. Now that you see the lockdown in Australia and how too many European countries have handled this virus, you realize this idea of fascism and coming in and telling you what medicines you have to take and whether your church can be open or closed, this is a very, very, very real threat. And I think that I'm not so sure that I deserve the credit for a lot of this as much as I tell you what I do deserve credit for is looking at what our 50-plus-year-old organization was doing and realizing it wasn't working. If we keep doing the same thing over and over again and we keep losing more freedom and more freedom, all of us have to rethink our strategies. And we have tried desperately to do that because we feel like our time could be short if we don't start making some real changes.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And then much closer to home, across the border, you've got this freedom convoy that's just, it's terrifying the establishment, not just in Canada, but some of the rancor coming out of the American press. They're literally, Washington Post literally compared the freedom convoy to what happened on January the 6th.
You know, if you can call a parent a domestic terrorist, if you can say that Marjorie Taylor Greene is the enemy within, what that basically means is they want to make it criminal to be a Republican, or they want to make it criminal to stand for the Constitution. And I know in the Canadian context, that doesn't, you know, our Constitution doesn't mean as much, but our Constitution is based on the fact that the individual has gifts given to them by God. And that is a very lost concept because it's no longer taught in our schools. Different things are taught in our schools, things that are wrong. And I say this, we're going to announce at CPAC in Orlando that we're going to have a CPAC in Mexico City. And I'd like to add Canada to the mix. I mean, they can have their NAFTA. I think we're going to have our CPAFTA or whatever we're going to call it. We're going to have the international alternative to the globalists who are really doing a lot to show their true colors, aren't they? I mean, they're really showing us what they're made of.
No, you're right. And Matt, again, it's going to be a great gathering. Where can folks go if they want to get information on the speakers, registration, you know, how to find the hotel, all that kind of great stuff?
Go to CPAC.org. Tickets are still available. You know, the student tickets, and we always have tons of students. They're, you know, they're like $12 a day or something. It's $50 for a ticket for that whole 4 days. So you can find a ticket at whatever price point that works for you. It doesn't matter to us. We just want you to show up. We want you to be there. Todd, I know you're going to be there. I know the people that people listen to on radio and watch on television and read about and the politicians they love, you know, almost every single one of them will be there. And I tell you, I love to be there with my kids just because I get a big boost in the arm after I've been at CPAC.
It was a lot of fun down in Dallas. We're going to have a blast in Orlando. And, folks, we would love for you to join us, CPAC.org, if you like information. We have direct links on our live show blog, so you can get that information quickly. Matt, we're going to leave it there. Look forward to seeing you in Orlando.
Sounds great, Todd. God bless you.
All right, Matt Schlapp, ladies and gentlemen, from American Conservative Union. And CPAC's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have the opportunity to meet the entire team here at the Todd Starnes radio show. So it's going to be a blast. I've got to share this info with you. Tulsi Gabbard, who is a Democrat. All right, this is stunning. Tulsi Gabbard just wrote this on Twitter regarding the next Supreme Court pick. Biden chose Harris as his VP because of the color of her skin and sex. not qualification. She's been a disaster. Now he promises to choose Supreme Court nominee on the same criteria. Identity politics is destroying our country. I will say this. If Biden had truly wanted to have a unity ticket, if he really had any inclination to unite the country, he would have picked Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate. But that was never going to happen. And the reason why, and it's, you have to do a little bit of research and digging here, but Tulsi Gabbard's parents are evangelical Christians, and they fought against gay marriage in Hawaii. And Tulsi Gabbard, as a teenager, helped in that effort. Now, she no longer believes that. She is staunchly on the pro-LGBT side of the political issue. But the Democrats could never forgive her for that. That's ultimately why she was rejected by the Democrats. She actually would have been a great presidential nominee for the Democrats. I mean, if you're thinking as a Democrat, she would have been a great choice. But the problem is her earlier beliefs. And once you violate one of the tenets of the Democrat Party, that's it. There is no forgiveness, none whatsoever. Now you say, well, what about the race? What about the race issue? Well, at the core of the Democrat Party, they have yet to repent from the evil racism that existed in their party. It was the Republicans who advanced the civil rights movement and the civil rights agenda, not the Democrats. They fought it. They filibustered it. But at the end of the day, it was the Republicans, the Republican Party. You can't forget that, folks. You can't buy into the mainstream media narrative that the Republican Party is this evil, racist, white supremacist party. It is simply not true. But you have to do your homework. You have to listen to talk radio. That's why so many homeschool families, they take a break and they let the kids listen to this radio program. Because we talk about those issues and we try to set things in the proper, the correct vantage point, if you will, context, if you will. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Do you believe, as Tulsi Gabbard does, that identity politics is tearing the country apart? Look, by now you've all heard me talking about MyPillow. Mike Lindell, a great friend of this program, now all of the leftist publications are trying to destroy this guy. The Atlantic actually had an essay saying that Mike Lindell was an enemy of democracy. Are you kidding me? This guy is not only a patriot, he is like the king of sleep. I mean, this guy has given so many great Americans an incredible night's rest thanks to his great products. By the way, Mike Lindell also has other products like My Slippers. It took over 2 years to develop. And they are designed so you can wear them indoors and outdoors all day long. Grace Baker, one of our good staff members, who is a college, he's over in college at the University of Memphis, Alan Pellow, came in one day and he looked down and he goes, oh no, I forgot to, he was wearing the My Slippers. And he forgot to take them off, you know, it's like, because they're that comfortable.
Ironically, his last name is Pillow, so if the shoe fits.
That's very clever, Grace. So all that to say, our staff, they love these things. And they're made with the same MyPillow foam and the Impact gel, and it helps prevent foot fatigue. And it's also made with really beautiful quality leather suede. And by the way, Mike, this week offering 50% off My Slippers. The slippers are so comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the entire family. So here's what I want you to do. Go to MyPillow.com. And you can click on the radio listener square, use the promo code STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstock product, such as the towels, the blankets, and the comforters. You can also call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Got to use my promo code STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS, promo code STARNS.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Coming up in the next hour, Senator Marsha Blackburn. By the way, a lot of folks are upset over something President Trump said at the rally over the weekend in Texas. He hinted at the possibility of issuing pardons to some of the people that have been caught up in this January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Just a few moments ago, Jen Psaki, Little Red Lion Hood, said that it's just a reminder of how unfit Donald Trump is for office. So I'm curious to hear from you, and I think we have a pretty good representation of America listening to this radio program. Do you think the president ought to issue pardons for the people that were caught up in January the 6th? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hey, Grace, interesting story. Are you a big, like, foodie? Like, you know, go to the restaurants and...
I'd say I'm, like, in the middle.
So you're not, like, just like, you know, Wendy's or Chick-fil-A.
Not a food blogger that, you know, tries squid and all kinds of weird stuff.
So there's a guy named Jamie Oliver.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
So he was, he's British.
Yes.
He was trying to get people to eat vegetables or something, go vegan. There was something weird about that.
I just remember he had a show where he would go into, like, school cafeterias and revamp their menus.
The Naked Chef was the name of the program. Not the one where he went to the schools.
I was going to say, that's a different
one. That would have been very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
And criminal. Unless, you know, you're a Democrat. Anyway, The Naked Chef I never watched that TV show. I was a little nervous about what I would see on the TV screen.
Understandable.
I have to imagine, though, the episode where they fried the bacon, that would have been a problem.
Probably.
Have you ever tried
the oil?
Yeah. No, you don't want to fry bacon in the nude because, you know, the oil.
There's many
pops.
Reasons you do not want to do that.
Among others, yes.
Yes.
So anyway, this guy's also one of these woke leftist types. Mm-hmm. And so he's announcing that he's creating a food appropriation specialist team.
Wow.
And the whole point of this, he's concerned about preparing foods that might belong to another culture.
Well, that tends to happen when you're cooking.
And so he doesn't want to offend anybody, and so he's doing this whole cultural sensitivity thing. So here's where we're at, folks. The chef, Chef Oliver, says that you've got to be careful because if you, if you're making fried chicken, for example, you could be a racist if you're a white person.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have to extrapolate. So I guess if you're Chinese, you can't make, like, pizza or something. I don't know.
This really limits your food menu, though.
It does. I got in trouble for this back at Fox. So I was talking about going to Harlem and having some great fried chicken and cornbread and collard greens.
Yeah.
And one of my editors got his chitlins in a twist because he says, Todd, you can't be talking like that. That's cultural appropriation. You might get in trouble for that.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's just good eating. What are you talking about? I told him, I said, if somebody's serving me some fried chicken and buttermilk biscuits, I'm gladly appropriating that culture.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's nonsense. I am so tired of these woke people. They just drive
everything.
Me nuts.
Food. Anything fun.
Yeah, this guy, and you could tell, this guy from day one, he was all about sucking the life and joy out of food. They would rather us eat cardboard without salt. And what does this guy know about food? He's British, for crying out loud.
Todd, have you not seen the British baking show?
Yes, and it sucks.
Oh.
I just know. We are the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and it's because of our food. We know how to smoke a pork butt here. Meanwhile, you got Jamie Oliver, and what is that guy known for? Making spotted dick. And nobody wants to eat that or see that. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It's a dessert. Look it up.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So, Grace, we finally, after weeks of delay, you know, the Starnes family kind of been through an illness, you know, just sort of a, it happens.
Outbreak?
Yes. I am still, you know, I'm still the healthiest of the bunch, relatively speaking. And, okay, that's not saying much. But the family finally got together for our Christmas celebration.
Wait, for Christmas?
Yes, we did.
Oh, my gosh.
Week. No, it's true. And we got everybody together. And one of the traditions, we do a gag gift or an elephant gift.
Oh, yeah.
And the way we do it is you put on, everybody is responsible for one gift. And then you draw numbers. And then you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the option of trading your horrible gift for somebody else's great
Are they
gift.
Always horrible, though?
So I felt like, and Kyle can correct, Kyle was there, so he can attest to this, Grace. I felt like my gift was the best gag gift because it really did embody the whole point of, like, that kind of a gift.
Well, what'd you get?
I got a Dr. Fauci action figure.
That's the best.
See, right? Exactly. Uncle Jerry. I think no Uncle Jerry was going to get it, but somebody else got it. But, I mean, some of the others were like, one was like a Reese's peanut butter cup. That's not a gag gift. That's a delicious gift.
Yeah, I was like, that's a good gift.
Thank you. And then somebody got like a box of rocks that, you know, just went out.
Reminds me of the Charlie Brown bit where he's like, I got Tootsie Roll, I got a Reese's, I got a rock.
But Kyle may have gotten the best gift of all. He got pickled pig's feet.
Ew.
And it's terrible.
It's terrible.
It was pretty awful. And kimchi. So
ew.
It's bad. It was bad.
Gross.
So all that to say, we got to work, but we've got to up. Kyle and I were discussing this, and we've got to up the family's gag gift game.
Oh.
It's just a little. I think some people were phoning it in.
Weak sauce.
Mm-hmm. It's true. But I got one of these cool devices. Was this, Kyle, who is this from? Was this from your side of the family? I got the cool Google thing where you, like, talk to Google.
Alexa?
And it's sort of like Alexa, but it, like, manages your home for you.
Oh.
So I'm very excited about this. It's pretty snazzy.
Cool.
And I am very excited about it. There you go. Anyway, all that to say, it was nice to get everybody together. I haven't seen the family for
finally.
A while. I know. We all live in the same area code. So.
Better late than never, right?
That's true. Otherwise, we're going to have an annual, I don't know, Valentine's Day family gathering. That would be a little awkward, but yeah, I don't know. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. Good to have you with us. A lot going on this hour. Marsha Blackburn is going to drop by. Also, the White House press briefing underway. Little Red Lion Hood is talking about how unfit President Trump is for office. And they're trying to make some political hay over some of the comments he made at this massive rally. And, folks, I'm telling you, I have never seen a rally that large. That was a huge crowd in Texas. And the president was, again, blasting Mike Pence and saying that Mike Pence could have overturned the 2020 presidential election. And I want you to understand the president's argument here. And it's a pretty good argument, but I'm not quite. I just want you to hear the argument because it does make sense. So the Democrats are trying to pass legislation that would prevent Mike Pence from ever doing what he was able to do. So the vice president would not be able to go against the election results. So what Trump is saying is, well, wait a second. That implies that the vice president had the right. So and that's where both sides have been battling. And there are two different political trains of thought here and honestly, two constitutional trains of thought. One says the vice president does have the ability to overturn the election results. And the other side, no, he does not. And that needs to get resolved. There needs to be some sort of coming of the minds on this. But to say that President Trump is unfit for bringing this up, clearly the president was making his decision based on whatever informed legal analysis he got. So they're making a lot of hay about this. I just don't think there's a lot of hay to be made here. The other issue, the president, during the weekend gathering, suggested that he would be willing to pardon some of the people caught up in the January 6th riots. And that's completely made people go bonkers. Just set that aside for a moment. If you attack a police officer, if you are one of the people that was beating up a cop, or you are one of the people going in there and stealing stuff, you get what you deserve. And you do not deserve a pardon. Anybody who laid a hand on a cop, you get what you deserve. But the others, I don't know. I mean, what do? You've got people that are still in a jail cell. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter people were literally burning down city blocks. They were shooting police officers. They were causing all sorts of mayhem. Not only were those people set free, there were no charges filed. So in essence, they didn't need a pardon because they weren't even charged with a crime. And they're burning down city blocks. It makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. So the question is, will this impact the midterm elections? And that is my concern. That is my overarching concern here, is I don't want anything to screw up the midterm elections. We cannot get sidetracked. Folks, this is the only thing that can save the republic from ruin. And that's where that's exactly where we're going. I mean, this administration's policies, unbelievable. We knew it was going to be bad, but we didn't know it was going to be apocalyptic. Jeez aloo, America. All right, 844-747-8868. President Biden, by the way, big weekend football thing. I caught a little bit of the Kansas City game, caught a little bit of the Rams game. Rams 49ers, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. Caught a little bit of both. I missed out on the start of the Kansas City Chiefs game. So here's what happened. Beautiful rendition of the national anthem. The microphone crapped out. By the way, they were having horrible, horrible audio problems. Horrible. Unbelievable. They were, during halftime, it was so bad that the announcers, the music in the background was so loud, the announcers finally said, you know what, guys, we can't even hear each other talk. We're just going to go to a break. I don't know what was going on there. But anyway, so the national anthem, the microphone crapped out, and then the audience, you got to love these folks in Kansas City, the audience, the crowd at the stadium just started belting out the national anthem. Take a listen. What America is about right here, folks. They had this young lady, and she was singing the song beautifully, and then the mic craps out, and the audience says, we got it from here. Hold the root beer. We got it. And it was a beautiful thing. Not a single person in that stadium was taking a knee. And I think the NFL has learned its lesson. Not only that, the Kansas City Chiefs, their team, they hosted, that is a Christian family that owns the Chiefs, and they don't tolerate that kind of nonsense. So anyway, President Biden, of course, the guy's been what? A long-haul truck driver, he's been the lifeguard, and apparently, who knew he was an all-star American football player?
Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. John, I had you in front of me when I was playing at Delaware. I could have been an All-American. I could have been big.
Yeah, fake news again. Yeah, didn't happen. Didn't. As a matter of fact, he had to quit football because he had bad grades. So that you kind of wonder what's rattling around. It's like a little tiny. You know when you have the big piggy bank, Grace Baker, and you used to be able to put money in there. And then when you take the money out, there's only like one single penny left in the big giant piggy bank.
Yep, and it's stuck in there.
You rattle it, and there's that clink, 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 clink,
clink, clink, clink.
That's Joe Biden's brain. That's what that is.
That's accurate description.
Not much going on up
nope.
there.
Nope.
None whatsoever. By the way, Joe Rogan, we got to talk about Joe Rogan for a minute. Are you a big podcaster? I know we've got a lot of people that get our podcast. And Grace, do you do the podcasting?
Oh yeah.
Are you a Rogan person?
Not really. I like him. I have no issues. Yeah. I know lots of people that listen to him. I've just never gotten into it. I have my people. I kind of just stick with them.
So he's sort of all over the place on the issues. I think he's somewhat, I wouldn't say apolitical now, but I mean, at least on the China virus, he is very conservative.
Yes,
on the conservative side of that issue. So anyway, Rogan is getting, there's a lot of complaints from these old aging musicians who used to be rock stars back in the 60s and 70s. And they're having all of their music pulled from Spotify. So now Spotify is saying, okay, we're going to start posting these warning labels on all the podcasts dealing with the China virus. And Rogan is coming out and he's apologizing to Spotify, saying, "Well, you know, I really didn't mean for all, you know, to call." No, Joe Rogan, don't apologize. You didn't cause anything.
No.
These people are morons.
Never apologize.
And I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's going to sound bad. But all these people that are complaining, was it Joni Mitchell? Isn't that the shampoo? That's not the shampoo lady. That's Paul Mitchell.
Yeah.
That had the
car.
Close. So on. Sorry. And then you got Neil. Oh, who was the other guy? Nobody knows these people. And poor Barry Manilow is so obscure that he was hoping that people were going to mention his name.
No.
It's poor bad. Buddy. So is it Neil Young? Is that who it is?
Yeah, Neil Young.
Neil Young. Thank you. Nobody cares about the... Can we just get real for a moment? The only reason they're doing this is so that people will remember they're still alive.
Dang.
I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, he's still with us? I had no idea.
He's still making music?
Wow.
That kind of a thing. Yeah.
No, seriously. It's because otherwise you would not hear from these people until they do die and then they play their music as a tribute. I mean, no offense. I hope they live very long lives. Joni Mitchell. When was the last time you heard a Joni Mitchell song?
No, never.
What about Neil Young?
I've heard of Neil Young.
But would you like spend $1,000 to go see Neil Young in concert? No.
No.
Of course not. Kyle is shaking his head yes.
Producer Kyle's the only reason I even know about Neil Young,
He started going vegan. I know. It's kind of like the black sheep of the family.
Dang.
I'm just saying. No, we don't judge. Well, I kind of did judge here.
He got pig's feet. Give him a break.
Well, he didn't eat them. He tossed them. But seriously, so you've got all these people coming after poor Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, don't apologize. Stand your ground.
Double down.
And you know, if I were Spotify, I would say, fine, go. Anybody else want to go with Joni Mitchell, the shampoo chick? Anybody?
Oh.
I'm just saying, Grace, I'm tired of the cancel culture mob.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Meanwhile, you've got... we're going to place it. They just suck the joy right out of life. Just suck it right
no
out of life.
There's no life left in their eyes.
Oh, it's just
glazed
awful.
Over.
Like a Krispy Kreme donut. So look, we're gonna take a break. We're going to play some audio because, look, there are people out there spreading misinformation. But it's not Joe Rogan. It's the left. And we've got the proof here, folks. So hang tight, 844-747-8868. That's our number. ToddStarnes.com is the website. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Folks, you hear it all the time. All the big newsmakers, whether it's Marsha Blackburn or President Trump, Mike Pence, they all call in on the Todd Starnes Show Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are so honored that Patriot Mobile is partnering with us, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs and they donate money to support organizations we care about. organizations that fight for the Second Amendment, organizations that fight for religious liberty. And I want to encourage you to do what I've done, and that is switch to Patriot Mobile. By the way, you folks that have T-Mobile, turns out they're firing everybody who doesn't get vaccinated. I mean, do you really want to support a company like that? Do you really, like if President Trump just announced that that One America News getting pulled off of the DirecTV? Well, who owns DirecTV? AT&T. That's why it's important for us to support companies like Patriot Mobile. And they make it super easy to switch over. All you need to do is check out patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can also call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT and actually speak to someone who speaks English. Again, that's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code Todd, and if you are a veteran or first responder, they're going to hook you up with an even greater discount. patriotmobile.com/Todd. All right. We're going to ask Senator Marsha Blackburn about this story, but I want to get your take on it as well. So yesterday, you had the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti. You had Mayor London Breed from San Francisco. You had the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, all together in Los Angeles at the big playoff game. Was this the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, one of the championships? And there are currently mask mandates in place across the state of California. Every child has to wear a face mask going to public school. By the way, every person has to wear a mask in a mega event space of more than 5,000 people. Well, there were more than 5,000 people at that football game last night, and the mayor, Mayor Garcetti, you had Mayor London Breed, the governor, Gavin Newsom, they were not wearing face coverings. None of them were. Nobody was socially distancing. As a matter of fact, there are tons of photographs of all these people hanging out with celebrities side by side, butt cheek to butt cheek, and nobody's wearing a face mask. They were not eating. They were not drinking. They were just out there having a good time. Rules for me, but not for thee. That's what they say. And this is where we are right now. Now, my question is very simple. What do you think they ought to do about this? What do you think they ought to do to people like Gavin Newsom, laying down the law saying, school child, your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, you've got to go out there and wear a face mask 8, 9, 10 hours a day at school, but the governor's going to go and party down at a football game? I say throw them all in jail. That's what I say. Throw them in jail. If they're going to make these rules and they're going to make all of us abide by these rules and they're going to go out there and knowingly flaunt the rules they put into place, I say throw them into jail. Set a public example. Again, if this is really as bad a pandemic as they've been telling us, if it really is that dangerous out there, then why are they setting such a bad example for the rest of us? What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. We have Senator Marsha Blackburn coming up. We're going to be getting your calls in as well, and some of them are going to be very clever. I will just predict these are going to be very clever phone conversations coming up. All right, ToddStarnes.com. Hey, don't forget, sign up for the Todd Starnes Show newsletter. Comes out every day, and it is filled with great stories that you're going to want to hear about. You won't read them about it. You won't read them in the mainstream media, but you will in our newsletter. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us in our Liberty University studios today. Want to head over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the great state of Tennessee, my Senator, Marsha Blackburn. Senator, good to have you with us today.
It is so good to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Senator, we were in the last break. We were talking about this football game last night in Los Angeles. And I know you've been all over the hypocrisy of the left. Here you had Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, all photographed without wearing masks, hanging out, having a good old time. Meanwhile, everybody else in the arena or the stadium is supposed to be wearing a mask, and those poor school kids are under orders from the governor to wear masks when they go to school.
And it just shows you what hypocrites they are. They are, and Todd, I think it's time for people to just start talking about this. The Democrats desperately need to have a permanent pandemic so that they can institute mail-in balloting and ballot harvesting and take away signature match and voter ID. That's the only way they're going to win. They desperately need a permanent pandemic so that they can tell you what to do from daylight to dark 24 hours a day. They feel like it makes it easier for them to be able to take control of your health care, control of your children, control of your state government and your local government. And that's what they're all about, big government control. They like being able to order around the mayors and the governors and the school superintendents. And the unions really like being able to order around the school board and the parents and the teachers.
No, and that has the teachers, and not necessarily the teachers, but the academic leadership horrified, because they know that the parents for so many years just stood down. But now the parents, they're clued in thanks to the pandemic. They understand what's been going on in those classrooms, and now they're doing something about it. Now, I just think that's a terrific thing.
You know, we have seen so much. In talking with Tennesseans and talking with a lot of moms, we hear so much from people about the need for school choice, the need for the money to follow the child, the need for the school boards to be responsible and answer to the parents, the push to get teachers to leave the teachers' union, because we've got a lot of good teachers out there. And I have good friends that have taught for over 30 years, and they say they can't believe how this is being handled. Children are not the super spreaders. They never have been. They're less affected than adults by this. Now we're hearing that all this putting plexiglass around the children, trying to mask them, we're hearing it maybe really does very little, if anything, and the mental health issues that children are having, the anxiety that they are having. It is time for people to stand up and be the people and to make certain that these school boards are not going to force these mandates on children that are too young to understand the need and the reason for compliance, or, you know, requiring vaccine cards for children over five to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal. I mean, this is absurd and ridiculous.
Senator, I want to read a quote to you from Tulsi Gabbard. She posted this on Twitter a couple of hours ago. She said, Biden chose Harris as his VP because of the color of her skin and sex, not qualification. She's been a disaster. Now he promises to choose Supreme Court nominee on the same criteria. Identity politics is destroying our country. That is from Democrat Tulsi Gabbard.
And Tulsi is one of those Democrats who is very moderate. She has served our country in uniform. She came to the U.S. House and served and was very much a moderate and really broke ranks with where her party was headed, tried to make an issue of it in the presidential campaign. And, of course, the mainstream press started treating Tulsi like they treat conservative women. And they started treating Kyrsten Sinema like they treat conservative women. And, Todd, as I've told you before, they treat us conservative women like we're fourth-class citizens. They don't want to hear from us here in D.C. And, So she sees this same thing happening. And we know that the Biden administration, when it comes to judges that they're sending us at Senate Judiciary Committee, Todd, we've got people who are trying to be federal district judges, federal circuit judges. They have never spent one day arguing a case before the circuit or serving as a judge, even for the city, the county, the state. They've never been, they have no experience as a jurist.
It's so obscene.
It is unbelievable. It is absolutely unbelievable. You don't put people on the appellate court who've never been a judge. There are certain qualifications expected of someone who is going to be on the bench. There is a temperament, a judicial temperament, that is expected of people that are going to be an associate justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. They are to be a constitutionalist. They are to be fair and impartial. They are not to be an activist. They are not to have been active in the political process. All of this is something that goes into the scrutiny and the vetting of an individual that is going to serve as a jurist. And Todd, your listeners can all keep up with me as we walk through this process. They can find me on social media at Marsha Blackburn or go to my website, blackburn.senate.gov, and sign up for our newsletter, because we will be going through this process once we get a nominee, a vetting that nominee, and looking at their writings, listening to their speeches, looking at any briefings that they wrote, opinions that they wrote as a judge. Hopefully we have someone who does have experience on the bench. So these are going to be places where we spend our time as we decide whether or not we support the nomination of this individual to the bench. Now, it is our constitutional duty to provide that advice and consent.
Are you hearing any names being floated right now?
Well, of course you hear the vice president's name mentioned, and we know that the White House, we're hearing, I should say, some of the scuttlebutt that they have been trying to figure out what to do with her, where they want to put her, how to use her. There was some rumoring that they were looking to replace her with Pete Buttigieg. So we know that that conversation is out there. In addition to that, there is a judge in South Carolina, a Judge Childs, who is regularly mentioned. There is Judge Brown Jackson, who is regularly mentioned. She is currently on the D.C. Circuit. And I thought the Wall Street Journal had an excellent piece in today talking about how, you know, there's so much talk about diversity on the court, but Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson grew up in a metropolitan area. Her father was a lawyer. She went to Harvard for undergrad and for law school. She clerked for Justice Breyer. She went to work for a big law firm, and then she went to a federal district seat and then to an appellate seat on the D.C. Circuit. And how I think there are six or seven of the jurists that kind of have that same background, and talking about how important it is to have people that did not grow up with an Ivy League degree. I think Amy Coney Barrett is the only one that did not attend an Ivy League school. And having people that have come from the heartland that are going to serve, that have that diversity of experience.
I want to go back here. So you've heard the rumor that that if Kamala Harris gets appointed or is nominated, then Mayor Pete or Secretary Buttigieg would possibly be the new VP.
You know, Yeah, that was a rumor.
Wow.
That was floating around in D.C. a couple of weeks ago as people were saying, well, the Biden administration, you know, there was all that press around the tiff between the president and the vice president.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So then there was a little bit of discussion there. But I think it is what is driving the conversation around is it possible that the vice president would be nominated to take that spot?
My goodness.
I don't know. I want somebody who's well-qualified. I want the most well-qualified person for the job, someone who looks at the court and says the court should respect equal access and equal treatment under the law. They should abide by the Constitution and the rule of law. We do not want jurists who are going to try to write legislation from the federal bench or to issue opinions that are based in what they would like to see the law be and not what the law is.
Well said. And, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. We know you've got a busy day ahead of you and always appreciate your great insight.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All right. Senator Marsha Blackburn, everybody, from Tennessee. Wow. A lot to unpack there as we wait to see who the president is going to select. We don't know who the running mate's going to be, but as you heard from, the nominee, but as you heard from Senator Blackburn, one of the rumblings up on Capitol Hill was that Kamala Harris would be nominated, and then Pete Buttigieg would replace Kamala Harris. Now that again, when you're playing identity politics, and maybe we should get a resident Democrat who can help us figure all of this out. When it comes to playing the racial and identity politics cards, does being a white gay man trump everything else? That's the issue. So would there be a call to find? We have the first black vice president, female black vice president. So maybe we should have a black male next. Or does the white gay guy with the baby? Who's married to a husband? Does that cancel everybody else out? These are debates that are raging right now on the Democrat side of the aisle. It's crazy. All right, got to take a break. You know, before we go to break, let's go to the phones. We've got Jerry from Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Jerry, how are you today?
Doing just fine. How about yourself, Todd?
Jerry, I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to call and ask. I've been talking about the woke community and all. I just wonder if we're going to stop drinking white milk, driving white cars, and eating white bread.
What about mayonnaise, Jerry? I'm a big man. I love my Hellman's mayonnaise.
Yeah, and I like the sandwich bread, too. And it's got a little white in it, too.
That's a fair... You know, Jerry, that's actually a great point. And to show you how ludicrous the woke cancel culture mob really is. When I was growing up, Jerry, all we knew was fried chicken was just good eating on a Sunday after church.
That's right.
That's it. All right.
If you say anything about turnip greens, and they get mad about that like the golfer did several years ago when a guy won the tournament. He said, you're probably going to meet turnip greens and eat fried chicken. And they jumped all over that man.
I remember that. Yes, yeah. I forgot about it. You're absolutely right. Wow. Well,
I think his name was Farr or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow. I'll have to go back. I do vaguely remember that story, Jerry. And you're right. It's just silly that people go to these extremes and, you know, they will do anything to try and divide us, even if it's, you know, using fried chicken.
That's right.
All right, Jerry.
Got a quick comment, and I love you, not mad at you, and I won't quit listening to you, but sometimes I wish you'd tone some of your language down. But I love y'all, and I'm not going to quit listening all the time.
Well,
okay.
Jerry, all right. Well, thank you, Jerry. Grace, what, did I say something? Do I use salty jargon?
Todd. Well, you say geez-a-loo a lot.
Geez-a-loo, but that's not a bad word.
That's not a bad word.
Geez-a-loo.
We don't have to beep you for that one.
Have I been beeped? Have you guys had to use the dump button?
Maybe we'll have to use the truck honk So, okay, so like if you say...
Hold on, let me try this out. Yeah. So Joe Biden is a... And let me tell you what else. He's a sorry so... And, oh, that'll work. Yeah, that's...
That'll do.
No, poor Jerry. He's a good guy. And I, all right, Jerry will try to watch the salty language. Hey, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, let's get right to the phones. The state of Georgia, WDUN, Jerry Lynn. Jerry Lynn, how are you? It's been a while. How are you?
I'm good, Todd. How's my sweet friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Jerry Lynn.
Todd, I got a quick question for you, honey. You keep referring to Kamala Harris, well, not keep, but you have a couple times, as being the first black VP. Todd, they interviewed her father months ago, and he said that she was a liar, that he was, that the family was very displeased with her, and that she did not have one drop of black in her DNA, and that the only time that she has ever used the black card, race card, is to benefit her. Now, that is her father stating that, Todd.
Yes, yes, Jerry, maybe, so maybe we should be saying the first person of color. I don't know. It's, you know, because her mother is, her father's Jamaican and the mother is Indian, is Indian American, or is she?
Yeah.
So
that's what he stated.
It's hard, Jerry Lynn, you know, because I'm a white guy and we've got to get this right all the time. You know how it is. It's like a tightrope.
Oh, yes, Todd. Well,
so I would rather err. I would rather get this wrong, and not have the NAACP out there marching against me.
Well, I think you should refer to her as disgrace or dumbest and dumber.
Oh, well, I like that. Those could be her preferred pronouns, dumb and dumber.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Well,
all right.
Todd, and I want to comment to your last caller. I don't think you need to tone anything down. I don't know what mayonnaise jar he's eating out of, but it was not the Todd Starnes one. Oh,
thank you, Jerry. Jerry Lynn.
I can't be having nobody, honey, talk about my Todd Starnes.
Well, you're kind of, Jerry Lynn, I love it. We're going to put you in charge of security here at the bunker, so.
Well, they'll all be in jail.
Oh, all right.
Especially if they're a Jinkman
rant. Jerry Lynn.
Todd,
all right, Jerry Lynn, you be good. I love those WDUN listeners. It's a great bunch over there. All you guys are great. We've got the best talk radio program in America. Thanks to you, America. All right. Hey, we got to get out of here. Be good, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.